Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and a happy new year. Obviously, this is the second day of the year, so we're starting off with a bang, I hope. Things are going well. When considering what to preach, obviously, this was the topic, right? A new year has come. So this first Sunday of the year, I thought, well, what would be a good motivation going into the new year? And I think really that would be a reminder of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so this morning I picked John chapter 10 to go through and look at what maybe living a life in Jesus would look like. As we get into the text, what we're going to see is living an abundant life in Jesus. An article from a few years ago listed the five most popular resolutions made most of every year. The fifth was to take up a new hobby. The fourth was to make more money. The third most popular was to improve relationships. Second was to stop smoking. And you can all probably guess what the number one New Year's resolution was. To lose weight. I mean, that's pretty common in my thought pattern that needs to happen, but that's really, you know, the top five general areas what we see as far as New Year's resolutions go. There was a story that I read. It says one woman walked into her bathroom at home. As she did, she saw her husband weighing himself on the bathroom scale, sucking in his stomach. The woman thought to herself, "He thinks that he will weigh less by sucking in his stomach." So the woman rather sarcastically said to her husband, "That's not going to help." Her husband said, "Sure it will. It's the only way I can see the numbers." So the idea of a New Year's resolution is really almost an admission that we're not doing what we need to do. That maybe the year didn't go as we hoped it would go, or we failed in some area that we should have pursued more fully. So New Year's resolutions are made because we know that there are things we can work on to improve ourselves, our lives, and our relationships. Maybe because there's something missing or something that isn't working in our lives. So New Year's resolutions are made, but they're also broken. I mean, it doesn't take me long to break my New Year's resolutions. That's why I've resolved to never make New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolution is not to make one then, I guess. So the reason is because they break all the time. We break them. It's very hard to be fully resolved for a single purpose over an extended period of time. There are many reasons we might fail. We don't extend the proper effort. We don't want to be held to account or in accountability for those things. We don't want to give up some things that we may love, things that we may be addicted to, or things that we may be completely unable to change in our own lives. So we all want to improve. We all admit that there are areas in our lives that could use some tweaking, some things that could do better. And may I then suggest that we look to another source other than our own power, other than our own resolutions, to change us into who we are meant to be. And that this source has the power and authority to accomplish this task. And so this morning we read from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Where the apostle says, recording Jesus' words, "So Jesus said again, 'I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy.'" And here's the key verse. "I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." Our Lord, we come before you this morning asking that in your word we might find a truth that will lead us into this new year following you, that will lead us into this new year in a better way than maybe our own resolutions might bring. God, may we find in Jesus our good shepherd, the one who will lead, provide, and protect us. God, I pray for your wisdom and guidance as we look into your word. May you be glorified through it as we seek to be molded by you. In Jesus' name, Amen. So Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. That sounds great. Abundance, that's a fun word, isn't it? And before you all think, oh no, did we hire one of those prosperity preachers? You didn't. What is the abundance Jesus is talking about? Well, it could be all of the things you might be thinking. Money or health or long life or material goods. But I think Jesus has in mind a higher purpose for what a life in Him looks like. It's not that all of your earthly needs will be met. It's not that you will live in grandeur and perfection. But rather that Jesus is giving us life and the abundance of it is restoring to us what life was always meant to be. Now, I think we've already admitted that our lives could use some improvements, especially if we've made New Year's resolutions. I don't know that anyone in here would say that they've arrived, that they've got it all down and that there's no reason to worry in life. It's just smooth sailing from here on. There are things that can improve. And so this abundance that Jesus is talking about is restoring life to what it should have always been, that Garden of Eden type of life. Not that we're all going to be manicuring gardens and naming animals and doing all the things Adam and Eve did, but the life that Jesus is providing is that which they had in that garden, innocence, a righteousness to them. Of course, we get that from Jesus. Fellowship with God. They walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. And through Jesus, our relationship with God can be restored to what it should have been. Adam and Eve walked in purpose. They had a calling on their life to tend to the garden, to subdue it and have dominion over the creation. You know, a lot of times we go through our own lives with no sense of purpose. The common phrase is, what is the meaning to life? And we engage on that track of trying to discover what our purpose and our meaning might be. But I think what we find in this abundant life that Jesus provides is the purpose for what we're here to do, to love and serve God, our Creator, who gave us all of these things. So, that garden life, though, we know in Genesis chapter 3, kind of went by the wayside. Through sin, through rebellion against God, Adam and Eve were kicked out. The earth was cursed. We know all of the things. If you've been through Genesis 3, it was not a great time. So how can we get that life back? Is it even possible to get the garden type of life back? Or as Jesus says, the abundant life. You know, Jesus contrasts the work that he does as the good shepherd to the work of the thief. In our verses, John chapter 10, there's two main characters vying over the sheep. There's the good shepherd who wants to lead and guide and do good things for the sheep, but then there's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy those sheep. So in this contrast, the question is, well, who is the shepherd and who is the sheep? Well, Jesus tells us in the context of these verses that he is the good shepherd. So this thief then would be someone coming to do the opposite. Now, of course, our minds shift straight to Satan, the enemy. But it could also be our own sin nature in us that Satan might use to drive us away from the good shepherd, to take the sheep of the flock and make them wander, so to speak. So the thief could certainly be Satan. It can be a sin in our lives that make us less than we could be. It could be our own natures impeding the progress that Jesus wants to bring in our lives. Oftentimes we settle for less than what we are called to be. We get in these ruts in the routine of daily life, and sometimes those can even be thieves because they might lead us away from Jesus. When we take our eyes off of the good shepherd, we are prone to wander. We go our separate ways. And so even though the mundane things in life might lead us away from the shepherd. And so if we want to make progress in anything in life, it requires that we must be intentional. It requires that we must be purposeful in going the directions that we should be going. When we take our hands off the wheels, you're prone to drift. So you always have to be correcting and ready to go. And so which direction do we go? Do we go with the shepherd who offers all of the blessings and wonderful things that life can bring? Or do we go with the thief that would lead us away, that would cause us to accept less in life? Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and as such, he is the only source of this true and abundant life that I'm sure that we all long for. I know I do in my own. And so in order to live the abundant life that Jesus offers us in 2022, we must do so by trusting the shepherd. I know this, it seems elementary, of course. Trust the shepherd requires then an idea of who the shepherd is. You know, Jesus is the, as he says in verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." He then is the source of all good things. Now, in the verse here, he's speaking specifically about our eternal salvation, the spiritual life that we are given when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. And so that would be the first step. If you want to follow the Savior, go through the door. If you want to follow the Savior or the Shepherd, then follow along with him. You've got to trust that he is going to lead you to good places. This might be a challenging message to hear sometimes, though. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. This leads us to the idea that we are not our own shepherds. This leads us to the idea that if we go our own way, oftentimes we're going to go the wrong way. And I would say anecdotally in my own life, when I go my own way, it's the wrong way. Because my nature, the sin in me, wants to take me from where I should be and lead me into destruction. That's that idea of the thief, someone who is not leading the sheep correctly. And so what this means then is that if we're going to live this abundant life, we've got to follow only the Good Shepherd. That Jesus is the only way to live a life of abundance. Now that might be offensive to some because, hey, I do my best, or I follow this other religion, or Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't certainly God in the flesh who came to save us. But Jesus here is saying that he is the path to the abundant life, that he is the exclusive way to salvation and finding the life that we should be living. There is no work, then, of religion that we can perform apart from Jesus that will do the job. There is no merit of good works that we can accomplish apart from Jesus that will save us. There is no purity of righteousness that we can ever attain to apart from Jesus that will save us. And so if you want to live the abundant life in 2022, start by trusting in Jesus as your Savior, because he will lead you to green paths. This then calls us to repent of our sin, that which would lead us astray, that which separates us from God, the abundant life that is available through him. It is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that brings salvation that you and I can long for, that abundant life. If you want it, that life that far surpasses anything this world can bring, start by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Now, hopefully, many here have already done so. But I'm not so foolish as to think that everyone here has done so. Now, I have the benefit of being new. I don't know everyone. I haven't talked to you about your spiritual condition. So what I'm going to say right now is to each one here, trust in Jesus as your Savior. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member, what kind of household you were raised in, any good works that you might have accomplished in your life. the only source of the abundant life that Jesus here is talking about is by following him for salvation. But the abundant life that Jesus does provide doesn't stop the moment we are saved. The moment that we bow the knee, repent of our sin, and turn toward him in faith and are saved. The abundant life continues after trusting in Jesus as Savior. And so, to live an abundant life in 22, we trust the Savior, but we also follow the Savior. Now, this is a again, an elementary principle. Maybe it seems obvious, but so many times in the evangelical world, there's this idea that when we say a sinner's prayer, or we walk the aisle, or get dunked in a tank, or whatever it might be, that that's it. We've reached the mountaintop, and there's no more left to do. And that might be true if you were to be called to heaven the next second. However, I was saved at 19. I'm going to turn 40 in 2 days. There's still some life that we have to live. And so what that means is we've got to continue to follow Jesus. It's one thing to trust in Jesus as Savior. It's another thing to live your daily life for him. And so if we want to live the abundant life, it means that shepherd who's walking that path, the one that he wants us on, who is leading us down it, it means we can't then veer off because we lived it one day and that's sufficient. No, rather, it requires a daily trusting and following of the Savior as he leads. This is the idea of salvation is when you repent of your sin and turn toward Jesus. Following the shepherd would be continuing to do that every day because sin is a problem every day. I'm not hearing any amen, so I must be the only one dealing with sin. But Jesus says earlier in John chapter 10, if you've got your Bibles, I don't know that I have the verses up, but look in verse 3. Jesus says, "The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers." Excuse me. Oh, that picked up in my lapel mic. I was reading a commentary about these verses, and I'm not a farmer, so I don't know. I don't know sheep. I know Carson's not a fan of sheep, but maybe some other people are. But apparently, maybe today, at least in the ancient world, sheep actually recognize their shepherd's voices to the point where they could go into a fold where there's multiple flocks. And all the shepherd would really have to come do was open the door and call for his sheep, and only his sheep would come out. I don't know if it's true, but it's a great thought. Because if Jesus is our shepherd, we will recognize his voice in the things that we hear. We'll be able to discern the things that are not him. And so we'll know not to follow. If we're following Jesus as we should, we will know his voice. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. You know, I'm reminded of Psalm 23. The imagery fits right along with John chapter 10. It's almost like they're written by the same author. That's a joke because they were. Psalm 23, I'll just read it real quick. "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Now, this is a wonderful psalm because, honestly, I think if we wanted to define the abundant life, maybe that's it right there. Being led by the shepherd to good places sounds wonderful to me, but it requires sheep that follow. None of these sheep are going to go to that desired place, that perfect place on their own, but only the shepherd who knows the path who will lead them on that path, will bring them to the completion of that path. The image here is a shepherd who leads his flock through the land and provides for them all their needs. He gives them green pastures, quiet waters, renewal, righteousness, protection through the valley and even against enemies, ultimately leading to peace and a place with him forever. You see, that's what the abundant life looks like. Recently, we in our household have been working on a 1,000-piece puzzle, which is challenging and fun. And I'm finding more fun than I thought I would in it. Maybe it's my detailed nature. But what we found last night is that if there's some things in life that aren't fitting, if there's a piece that just won't go, but it looks like it should be the right way, re-examine it. Last night we were stuck on this corner. I think it was the sky part maybe, or the mountain, or whatever it was in the puzzle. And we just could not get the pieces right. We thought we had all the pieces. It should be going together to make this beautiful picture, this beautiful landscape, but it just wouldn't go. None of the pieces would fit until until Reese realized, oh, this piece we thought went here wasn't actually the right one. And so when we removed it and started reworking the puzzle, everything fell into place and we completed the corner. And it's beautiful. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's really a perfect illustration for what an abundant life is, because oftentimes we're living our lives and maybe things just aren't working out the way we thought. It's not coming together as it should. We know there's a beautiful picture that could be there, but there's one sticking point that's just keeping us from achieving it. Well, re-examine. Figure out in life, well, maybe there's something that you thought was good, thought that was something that would lead you to the abundant life. But when we remove that thing, and it's probably some sinful issue, at least in my case, when we repent of that and we turn toward the shepherd, oftentimes, more often than not, everything then begins to come back together. That's the beautiful picture of a shepherd leading the sheep, that the sheep are limited in their capacity. But it's the one who can see the grander picture, the one who knows where the pieces fit together, who will lead us to an abundant life. Follow the shepherd. One of the great points here in Jesus' words in verses 3 through 5 is that the sheep know him. That they know that shepherd because they've spent time with him, because they have heard his voice. You know, this reminds me that we need to be in the Word. The Word that Jesus gives us, apart from a voice in the sky maybe, that's Jesus' Word for you and I today. And so if we want to follow the shepherd, we need to know his voice, which means in 2022, maybe you need to take one of those reading plans that Pastor Nick has out there to read the Bible through in a year. And as you begin to hear more and more of the Word of God, you will recognize his leading in your life. You will recognize where those pieces just aren't coming together right. And through repentance and faith, you begin to see the grander picture. So learn the Word and live the Word. As we want to live an abundant life in 2022, trust the shepherd and follow the shepherd. Why? Well, if you've got your Bibles open to John chapter 10, look with me, if you will, at verses 11 through 13. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Why did he do that? Well, verse 12, "The hired man, since he is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. He leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care for the sheep." See, Jesus is giving us the reason why the good shepherd lays down his life, because he loves those sheep. The hired man will abandon them, but Jesus will protect us with everything he has. You know, Jesus knew that we had this sin that was blocking us from true fellowship and true abundant life with him. And he laid down his life for you because he cares about you and where you will spend eternity. He wants you to spend it with him. This morning, will you trust in Jesus as your Savior, setting aside your own attempts at earning your salvation, trusting only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? This morning, will you commit to follow Jesus for the rest of your days, knowing that in him you can live this abundant life that can come from no other source? As we transition to the time of invitation, I plead with you to turn your back on sin and turn toward Jesus and follow the Good Shepherd. My prayer is that each of us will do so, knowing that it's only in following him that we can find those green pastures, those quiet waters, that we can experience his blessing even through times of trial, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And then at the end, we will have peaceful pastures and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we come to our time of invitation, this is a time where you can trust in Jesus for your salvation or to commit your way to following him daily, more closely. I'm going to be available down here if you'd like prayer or just to talk or whatever you may need, and I would love to be able to do that for you. I know Carson and Pastor Nick will be available and just respond to what the Lord may be calling you to do this morning. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for your word, which speaks so beautifully of what the abundant life can be as we follow the Good Shepherd. Lord, we come to you now confessing that our sin often leads us astray. It leads us to paths of darkness. It leads us to live a life led by the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, I pray that you will be at work in each of our hearts this morning to help us to trust in you, to follow you as the Good Shepherd, and in so doing, be led on your paths. Lord, I pray your blessing on each one gathered this morning. May you call us all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.